Well, good afternoon, everybody. I'm here with the legend Larry Bluestein. We're talking this afternoon about some exciting stuff that's happening this weekend, and we're going to be debuting the championship game of the Elite 7v7, which is presented by the Keeping Dreams Alive Foundation down here in South Florida. And I know you all are listening, and this is probably during a break in the live action, but wanted to get Larry Bluestein, one of the legends from South Florida, loves the kids. Probably, I'll let Larry tell you, thousands of kids promoted each year. Been doing this forever. Larry, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Glenn. Thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to be with you guys.
Well, it's a pleasure having you and taking the time out of the day to be with us today. And, you know, we are from the same boat. We enjoy doing this. We enjoy doing it for the kids. I know that you're heading to Ocala this weekend for, I don't know,
right.
Was it 30, 40 teams that are participating up there at the 7-on-7 event as well?
Yeah, and they also have a lineman challenge and a youth football type of thing. So it's going to be, you know, I do that a couple of times a year to get away from the area. I go to Tampa, Orlando, I go to Jacksonville and to Tallahassee, and then this week up to Ocala to see the kids that I normally wouldn't see. And it's great, a great exposure. And then next week I'll be out in Tampa for University of South Florida event, which they were the first school in the country that had 7-on-7. And that started like 15 years ago. So it's been great. I've attended it every year. And again, and we'll see a couple of South Florida teams up there as well.
Well, that's great. The one thing that we're interested in, we've always been interested in, these high school student athletes that are flying under the radar. And
right.
How many kids do you promote a year, Larry?
Well, we had 6,400 as of today. That we have now. That's for all the classes. We're starting to expand to 2019, which is the incoming freshmen. But kind of want to wait till that season. Maybe we do it in late August. Kids that there's a couple of kids that have already played as eighth graders that go to schools that are like K-12, so they could play. But close to 6,000 plus throughout the course of the year. And you know, Glenn, the one thing is it's the way, you know, people always say, well, Larry does that and I do that. But the whole thing is the way I was taught and the way that I've been very fortunate. And I was telling somebody that the other day when I was speaking, you know, about what I was doing. And I grew up at a time where you had to have, like, rolls of quarters to call kids on payphones and typewriters. And I went through the early days of, you know, there was nothing immediate. Afternoon papers were everything. And then the advent of cable and the internet, the information superhighway. And before you know it, everybody has cell phones. Everybody has PDAs. Everybody has laptops and tablets and home computers and business computers and, you know, watches and stuff like that. So it's gone advanced, but I still work the way I did back in 1970 when I actually started this. You know, I was only 15 at the time, but I started this back then. And because I just didn't think there was anybody who was doing anything right to get these kids noticed. And I found out the key some 8 to 10 years into doing it that, you know, you just have to be a pest and you have to watch things. You can't go off of anybody else's film. And now I think the people have gotten more lazy because of all this, you know, all the Larry Bluestein doing the 90-hour-a-week legwork to see these kids and then post videos on them and then put, you know, evaluations and rankings behind them, and everyone else starts seeing them and watching them, and then they become critics without, you know, ever knowing about these kids. And that's the one thing, is I've been taught at an early age to do things 100%, you know, from start to finish. And that's what I've done to this, you know, and people always equate me as doing this, but as much as I do for football and as know about football, baseball is actually something that I'm far advanced in because I've been doing this longer. I've been following baseball since maybe I was 5 or 6. And I could tell you more about baseball kids. And, you know, Glenn, last week I went up to see the Marlins #1 draft pick play in a Gulf Coast League game. He's a first baseman. And the crazy thing is I've done that the last 18 years. I've had a chance to see everybody from Charles Johnson all the way to Fernandez and all these kids, you know, when they first started in rookie ball. And, you know, that's my passion as well.
You know, I got tons of kids are listening now, and we've got over 600 college coaches that we blasted for this event, and it just fascinates me because, you know, you're saying 70s and you're saying 15, and I remember you. I mean, I wasn't much older than – I'm younger than you, not by very much, but I'll never forget, you know, telling Bob Healy the other day, last week I was helping his son Robert, you know, through this process because he's a kicker at St. Thomas, saying, you know, you're not going to believe this. But, you know, Larry's out at our events, and you remember Larry used to cover us, and Bobby was like, yeah, it's Larry Bluestein from back in the day. I said, absolutely, and he is out there sweating, still sweating, promoting these kids, and it was a cool conversation we had. It took us back to the 70s, and I love the throwback pictures that you're putting up on Facebook right now. But with student-athletes that are listening in right now, college coaches are obviously listening in, how can they get their information to you, Larry?
Yeah, we have a number of ways. The best way to do it is email it because, you know, there's a lot of people who try to help kids and they'll blast things out. But what we do is once we blast them out, we have a full list. And that list we have, and we put it out a couple times a week just to, you know, let everybody know. And that's where you can find almost 6,500 kids on a database. And that's what we do. So we promote that kid, and all you have to do is send it to Florida Kids and the number one at AOL.com. That's Florida Kids and the number one at AOL.com. And that's what we do. And if we can't help you from, you know, and you're from out of the state and out of the area, there's a couple of people that I'm working with that I forward a lot of your stuff to, and we'll get you at least taken care of somewhere. But we kind of specialize in Florida. It's a large state, you know, it's a lot of talent, and, you know, every year. So we have our hands full here.
That's a fantastic. Those are incredible numbers, and the folks out there just don't realize it. And I do through the foundation. We don't do thousands like that. We do hundreds, and it's enough work doing the hundreds, mentoring them one-on-one through the foundation. And
sure.
I just want to commend you, man. You're doing a heck
Thanks,
of a job.
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate it. And I enjoy it, and I love it, and that's the one thing. And then the other thing is, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that I had bad grades in school, I never would have been doing this. Because I was, you know, that isn't that the craziest thing? Because of the fact that I was like a real good baseball player coming out of, you know, Little League and all that stuff. And I was a phenom and I could hit and everything, but I was never eligible. And people didn't understand that, you know, I mean, I probably blew a pretty decent chance. My dad played professionally, you know, so I figured, heck, you know, I mean, I'm going to fall back in line. But I just failed to go to school and it hurt. And it hurt my chances, and those people who look at me now and see what I've done. But that's, you know, that's me. That's self-preservation. Not everybody can get up off their feet, and, you know, they don't. Not everybody, a bell's not going to go off in your head. You're going to have to force it sometimes, and, you know, that's what happened with me. And I saw, hey, how is that guy doing this, or how is that guy doing this? I started in radio when I was 15 years old. In South Florida market, and was like, you know, 24th market at the time. But I was 15 years old doing talk shows on the weekend at WKAT radio. And that's where I started. And I never wanted to really be in radio. I just, you know, I love sports and I love being around it. And things started to take off. And I've been doing high schools. Like I said, my dad was, you know, the best sports mind I ever met, you know, I mean, and he's a guy who took me to everything from spring training games to University of Miami football since the time I was 4 or 5 and big high school games in the Orange Bowl. So I got a great introduction into this world, you know, from somebody who I thought was just a crazy knowledgeable baseball, everything. And that's where I picked it up. You know, I picked up the work ethic from him. I picked up the passion and love for him, like him. And but before he passed, like, you know, 12 years ago, he said to me, you've gone past me, son. He goes, I can never do, you know, up to 100 games live a year. And you know, Glenn, the thing is when it really got important, when the games didn't matter and the kids did, you know, and that's why I could go to a pregame in the first quarter someplace and go second quarter and part of a third quarter someplace and go to a last fourth quarter, you know, in an area on any given Friday or Saturday, you know, night. And I could see 5 or 6 games, 12 teams a weekend. And that means a lot, because if you could eyeball the kid, I don't care if it's for 20 minutes, 18 minutes, at least you get a chance to see the kid do something other than, you know, run around in T-shirts and shorts and stuff like that. You get to see him when the pads are on and the game's on the line.
Well, what a great what great wisdom for all those young people that are listening and older people listening. You know what I got from that, because I do a lot of listening, and I try to teach and empower. You know, your passion came from your pain, and if my passion came from my pain. You know, similar circumstances. One of my sons sounds like a deja vu, and I said, right, well, that's never going to happen again. And so I did everything in my power to learn how this system of recruiting worked, and I looked at it from a whole different perspective, from a business perspective. And through that pain, it's the passion that maintains what we do. And I think what's so important is what you said is that, you know, you wouldn't be doing this if you hadn't felt that pain, and you were trying to live up to your dad's expectations. And, you know, I know a son that was trying to live up to his dad's expectations. Life was good, you know, but school's on the sideline, and boy, I'll tell you, the kids listening right now, if you all are listening in thousands, grant the wisdom, listen to it. Don't let it fly by. Don't get caught up in all this instantaneous, you know, 24/7 of distractions. Don't wait for the pain to grow your passion. Let your passion heal the pain and reach for the stars. So what a great way to start this conversation. And, man, I got goosebumps talking to you, man, because you're throwing me back, and you're making me get even more excited about what we're getting ready to talk about today, and which is the Elite 7v7 Scholar Athlete, and that's very important for us, the Scholar Athlete High School Championship. It's a lineman challenge and also a combine, and we've got some really cool people. Bomarito's coming out and doing the combine, and Arturo Freeman coming out with Elite Prep Sports, and he's going to do the lineman challenge, and Emerson's coming back down with Derek that you met.
Wow.
And yep. Bob Winstead will be in here, and Andre White from NYFO. They're gonna do a heck of a lineman challenge. Ryan's out there running around right now, Larry, getting tractor tires and kegs from the local restaurant, and it's gonna be hilarious to watch these linemen really get to compete for a championship, and then we'll roll it into, well, let me back up. We're gonna register them all. Then we're going to have them get stealth rated, and they'll be rated on character, academics, and work performance. Their head coaches will bring them in. We roll them right out to a dynamic workout with Bomarito. They'll go into a combine, and they'll split off after the combine. The skills will warm up for the elite, and the linemen will go into their one-on-one and team challenge. And we'll have some awards after that finishes up. And about 1 o'clock, we should be rolling into a semifinal, final game. And we got a scoreboard. The city's laid out the red carpet. We've got a PA system, and we'll be going live at about 1 o'clock tomorrow. And one of the reasons that I wanted to get you on this conversation is because people listening to this and watching this live performance as it's unfolding right now, it's, you know, couple days before, but they're going to be listening to this during the commercial breaks, is that we want to talk about some of those athletes that are flying under the radar, those impact players that you know so well, the teams that are competing in the tournament. And, you know, there's a bunch of them. I'll just go through them real quick. And as I go through them, if any players pop out that you would like to mention or let some people around the country know that wouldn't know, that would give these young kids just a better advantage, and maybe they're in that 6,500 database, maybe they're not, maybe it's something we need to know about them, maybe it's something they need to know about themselves. So in saying that, we're going to have Stoneman Douglas, Coral Springs Charter. We got Miami Springs, Archbishop McCarthy, Deerfield Beach, West Broward, Stranahan, Suncoast. This is great. We got Palm Beach teams. They feel like our stepchild up there, so they're getting involved. North Miami, SJB Academy, John Drummond's bringing his team in. Cardinal Newman, Wellington, another couple of Palm Beach teams. Piper's going to represent Western, Cooper City, and South Plantation. Man, we got the
wow.
Today. We got a great breadth of players that are coming in, and we're going to have over 500 kids for this tournament, and probably 150 of them are going to be linemen. So any players in that list that jump off to you that need to be, or someone may, you know, need to know something special about that you know about that nobody else knows around this place but a Larry Bluestein?
Well, you know, nowadays it's pretty tough to know, not know about everybody, but, you know, I'll tell you, two things jumped off my when you were talking, you're going to have in that event three very, very high-profile quarterbacks that a lot of people don't really know about. Wellington, you have Blake Deaver, who transferred from St. Thomas. Then all of a sudden you look down and you see Western. And, you know, they have a kid who came over from Cardinal Gibbons from last year. And one of the best, Tyler Monaco, one of the best statistically in the county. So he goes to Western. And then you kind of round it out with a pretty good kid from Suncoast and the kid Matt Dame, who was early on, he got commitments or offers from Miami and a bunch of other schools. So in that grouping right there, you have some outstanding quarterbacks. I mean, quarterbacks that could line up with anybody. Then you take a look at Miami Springs and Coach Darryl Bethune's son, Darryl Jr., and there's another kid. He's a fullback. He's a linebacker, way under the radar. I mean, this is a kid who will be a four-year starter for his dad. I had a chance to watch him at youth football, another outstanding football talent. And you know what? Stranahan now has a marquee player back. They got Daywood Davis back, who was going to American Heritage. Pretty quick kid. A guy, now that Nesbitt's gone, will probably take the lead role back and, give Stranahan a little bit of a push. A couple of the teams, obviously Deerfield Beach is stacked with talent. I mean, their offensive line, Rooney Leon, who's one of the rising kids, big kid. He's going to be special. I mean, you take a look at they got the kid Ridley from Monarch. They got Judy, who I think, I know that everybody has their own opinion, but watching, the players as close as I have, and when my 2017 list breaks, it'll show. But they have the kid Jerry Judy, who's just one of the best. And you've watched him before, and you know. And I mean, he's just real solid. I think Deerfield's put the pieces together to make a nice little solid run at Flanagan, but I just think that Flanagan, this is their year, because they have a lot of senior kids coming up, and so obviously this could be their year. But, I mean, you were right. You take a look at a lot of the kids that a lot of the teams that you got, and Cardinal Newman, now that Steve Walsh has moved to IMG, they have a new coach and a guy that we know pretty well from down here, Coach Timmons. I mean, at Piper, Coach Coleman is doing great. I mean, ever since he took over, he's done exceptional. A lot of people don't know Wes Broward. You got a Super Bowl winning player that is their head coach. He played under Bill Parcells with the Giants. Raina Thompson, who's been their head coach, and his sons have been playing out there. So, I mean, you got just in this event right there. And, I couldn't say anything more positive than the Peanut. It's Willis May from Douglas, one of the best coaches around. I think, right now, if you take a look at what guys do to teach, elevate, and coach, he's top five easily in Broward County. Easily. I mean, he's an exceptional coach. I mean, he lost, and they lost everybody from Israel to Tate Lahido and all these other kids, and they're back with some pretty decent kids, including, I think, one of the under the radar linemen around, Corey Gaynor. I mean, this is a kid who's started since the ninth grade. He's a 2017 kid, which means he's going to be a junior. So, and I didn't even get to the great other teams like North Miami, where I went to high school. You talk about a revamped job. They were 18-4 the last 2 years. They lost 20 of 22 starters from last year. So they got a lot of, but Coach Ed Williams has done a great job, and we'll see what happens. But SJB's going to have kids, and that's a little bit of the Drummond and great coaching, Mike Tunsil. So they've done a great job.
We're excited, and old Adam Miller is going to slip in those Panthers, and Calvin Jackson's son will be up there. It'll be interesting to see. They've always competed well in 7-on-7s, and they're in a great league. And South Plantation is.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't say, you talk about a great coach who does more with little each year. That's Dougie Gatewood. I remember when Doug played at Plantation, his dad's coach for years. He's done an exceptional job. So I can't say anything, but positive things about what Dougie Gatewood did. And you're right. You take a look at Cooper City, and anytime you come from the coaching tree of Byron Walker, who is another outstanding coach, one of the great minds, and I followed Byron Walker basically since he started coaching, and back in he's from over there right near Belgrade, and just an exceptional mind and a great person, and his son Brandon is trying to do the same thing with Cooper City.
Well, you got father and son competing, and it was interesting. It was interesting to get son to get his team registered, and I said dad didn't have any problem. He said, well, dad won a lot more games. He's got more people working for him. And I I said, well, he's an incredible influence and a great man. And one of the last things that he texted me back is that dad is the best. And I just loved it when I saw Brandon write that about his dad. I got chills when he said that. A father and a son competing against each other in Broward County. And I'll tell you, I'm looking at this list and I'm thinking to myself, it is really nice. You've got two of the top quarterbacks in this contest coming out of Palm Beach. We never talk about Palm Beach. Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a good thing. And when you have that, and plus, remember, you still have a lot of quarterbacks that are under the radar. Like you talked about Adam Miller. And, and then certainly South Plantation's got a couple of kids that are vying for a spot. And Douglas has a new quarterback. He's a sophomore, and he's going to be pretty good. So, I mean, these are programs that worth watching. Like I said, Stranahan is a team that right now is trying to get a couple of kids in there that can take some leadership. Coach Tally Adams has done well wherever he's been. He's a Daytona Beach area guy. And, he's just a solid person, and he wants to build. There's a couple of teams like that, I think, in Dade and Broward this year. But certainly getting those kids that you got, those teams. I mean, you did get a couple of teams from Dade County, and that's always positive with North Miami and Miami Springs, because that gives you some of that, everybody always wants to do well against the Dade County teams.
You're right, and I'm really excited. This is probably going to be one of our biggest lineman challenges, and those big heavies are going to have fun out there. Any of those teams that stick out, you did name a few of them, but any of those big linemen that stick out that people should know about around the country?
Well, first of all, Deerfield Beach. They've got two or three guys two or three really good guys. The Leon kid is real good. You're going to see they were up at the Nike Challenge, and as a team, they went head to head with Miami Central, and then the Miami Central obviously and Flanagan have some beef up front. Right now, at schools like Newman and McCarthy, it's really tough to get those big linemen. I think Coral Springs Charter's got a couple of kids that the kid Klein and at center, he's had a pretty decent go. They lost a couple of good kids from last year as well. Douglas, like I said, Gaynor, I mean, you're going to be the type of kid that's going to probably win a lot of events and because he's athletic, because he's got great size. And I mean, here's a guy that I'm sure, without mincing words, has had a lot of chances to leave, Douglas in the off season because he was great size. His brother reached 280 pounds, I think, by the time he was a senior. So, I mean, he's a kid to really watch in any of those type of challenges because he's athletic and then, he's got an opportunity to be special.
Well, what's exciting is, as I hear you say that, is we're going to be able to get them stealth rated. So we're getting to get all these linemen on the radar one way or another, Larry, across the country. And it's really exciting to have the coaches that follow us to be able to see that. It's interesting to see how it plays out, basing on character grades and work ethic. And so these big heavies are going to get a shot at being noticed and not have to go up against skill players in a rating system anymore. So we're really excited about that. And there's going to be over 500 of them that'll be going through the rating system and also the academic mentoring. We're excited to see that. So, yeah, we've got a big day. We're going to cram it in there. I told each one of these. Oh, and I was thinking of Deerfield when you said Deerfield. Javon Glenn, he's got 40 players coming in. And that just excites me. It just excites me. I told these coaches, make it a practice day. Make it a competitive practice day. And I told them, because we sent them these humongous coaches packages, I said, now, coaches, we're going to run this like a college workout. It's going to be 100%. Full speed all the time, and you're going on a horn, and we're going to trust that you're going to be out there. We're not going to be lollygagging around. We want them to have an experience like they're going to be at the collegiate level, and they're really excited. They're excited to get out there, and we're excited to put this thing on. And you know, I'm going to transition here. Something going on in the fall, the 2015 expectation. You've reeled off some incredible athletes that are in our event. Are there anything outside that we should be looking at? And I know there are lots, but if there's anything that really stands out, any standout athletes, any underrated athletes, top teams, Broward, Dayton, Palm Beach, that we should expect in coming into this fall season?
Top teams? Well, you know, I mean, I think if you look, if follow it up, 2A is going to be Champagnat. Coach Dennis Mariquin takes over there. They should start getting a lot better again. 3A is going to be really, really competitive because, first of all, you start with Miami Westminster Christian and Seth Irvin still has some pretty decent kids down there. But now joining the fold is Oxbridge Academy and Delray Heritage. So it's not going to be an easy ride. In 4A, it's going to be pretty interesting. You have Booker T. They're winners of 41 straight. Don't think anybody locally is going to ring them up as far as getting them unseated out of the district. But up the line, they still have to face Clewiston. They still have to face a much improved Glade Central team and probably ultimately to go against that same Coco team that they narrowly escaped from last year with far less talent to begin with. I'm not going to say that, you know, that that's not going to end real good, but Booker T is coming in with a team in 2 years will be nationally rated again. Right now, they're relying on a lot of 10th and 11th graders to, you know, to do the job that the men have been doing the last couple of years. So I think they will be battled. I think 5A is going to be awfully stilly, very tough, you know, in that one district. That's a very competitive district. You have two-time defending state champion Plantation Heritage. You have Hallandale. You have Coconut Creek. You have Miami Jackson, Carthel, Gibbons in one district. Four teams don't get a chance to move on. Two do. Who will it be? American Heritage is loaded back up again. I think the winner of that district goes to state and wins state. I really do, because that's how competitive it is. 6A, you know, looks on the surface as a closed issue, but it may not be. It's the most competitive district probably in the country. From a standpoint of talent, there's none close. You have Miami Norland, who has 7 to 10 Division I type of kids right now. You have Carroll City, who has probably 15 to 16. You have Miami Central, who has 20 to 25. And we're talking 9th to 12th grade. And then you're talking Miami Northwest with another 15 or 20. That's Division I prospects, and that's just from 4 schools. So what happens there? Central is going for an unprecedented 6 straight run. And do they get there? They're going to get knocked around plenty. They open up at the Matha in Hyattsville, Maryland, which is nationally rated every year. They come back and they play a team from Georgia, and then they play Booker T. 3 very tough games again, but it's helped them last year and the year before. 7A, I think St. Thomas kind of waltzes their way through. They've got enough talent. I don't think that they get beat. If they do, they'll get knocked around by Flanagan or probably by Hallandale, but I don't think they lose those games. They're just too deep. And 8A is going to be very interesting. Everybody says Flanagan, but Columbus proved that they could get there. They did it last year. South Dade is back with probably one or two best linemen in South Florida, if not the entire state. And then you have, you have a couple of other teams that could pose some threat. But Flanagan, it's their ball game to lose this year. And I think whoever they go against in the North, they beat.
Yeah, the Dirty Birds should make a run at it. They've been playing together for quite a while now since they were freshmen and sophomores. And we've had fortunate opportunity to follow them and broadcast a lot of their games and watch Ryan Stanley move up through the ranks. And now you've got a bunch of the Dirty Bird. They've got a lot of experience. You have reeled off a wonderful overview for our listeners from 2A all the way up through 8A. And we can't wait till the season rolls out. Can't wait to get all the stuff that comes our way from you and to watch all these student athletes. And I'm going to wrap this thing up by going right back to the center and talking about college and career awareness. One of the foundations of what Keeping Dreams Alive Foundation and what we present all of these things comes out of. The one final question for you, Larry, is we're going to shift it. Do you think that these high school football players are prepared on and off the field for college?
You know, it If it is, it's if they're not being prepared in high, you know, in the school, I think their family members kind of prepare them. I think that bails a lot of these kids out to have had family members go through this before they did, because there's going to be a lot of them that are going to slip through the cracks and have a tough time and come back, and I see it every year. I mean, the ridiculous part of it all is that you see kids who you say, wow. You know, talent-wise, he's going to be fine. But, you know, from the standpoint of his character, you know, that may hold him back, and it often does. Unless you have guidance, unless you have somebody like yourself and your organization stepping in there, and I'm speaking from the truth of somebody who's been around it and know that a lot of these kids, if they've only had somebody or someone to reach out to them, as far as the, you know, as far as helping him and showing that guidance and giving him a direction, they may have not ended up, you know, on the negative side instead of being positive. Because, you know, I tell kids this, you know, while everybody's always in a rush to get to Stanford and Ohio State and Michigan and Florida and FSU and Miami, you got to understand it's not where you start out, it's where you end up. Because in 4 years from now, those guys who shuffled off to Division II schools or low Division I schools are going to go for the same jobs in the NFL, the CFL, the indoor league, the arena leagues, as that person who got that big-time scholarship to Ohio State. So, like I said, go enjoy yourself. You know, don't get the pressure. If you're good enough to play football at that next level, it'll show no matter if you're at Florida State, where not everybody that goes to Florida State is in the NFL. But you know what? That's what makes all this great. And, you know, you learn more and more about it all the time. I've seen kids who went to, Wittenberg, and they come back and say, you know, I had the best time. 5,400 kids, a great town. It was, you know, it was like a college atmosphere. I had a great time, played football, got a superior education, and now I'm working for a great firm. That makes me smile.
And that's what it's all about. And one of the tidbits, over 70% of the student athletes that finish school and finish, it's all high level. College, you know, to the kids that are listening now, I don't care what level you're playing at, they're going to be flying around because you just reeled off probably 50 Division I student athletes within less than a 5-mile radius down in Miami-Dade, and there's only so many 250, 300, 400 spots available in the country. And, you know, those 1,600 other schools that those kids go to and finish at a high level, over 70% of the companies run in this country are run by ex-athletes.
No doubt.
And
Glenn,
Ben, yeah.
I didn't want to interrupt, but the one thing that I want to, you know, kind of point out and leave everybody with, as far as these numbers are concerned and how consumed people are, you know, with all these numbers. But here's the thing. When you go to college – and you go there, obviously you play football, but complete your education. You take your entire family up to a different level. And that's what I try to explain to these kids. I said, doesn't your father ever say to you, son, I want you to do better than I did? Because that's the thing. More kids are kind of regressing, believe it or not. I've known parents who went to college, did this, but you know, the bell still never went off. And it's important that the numbers do not lie, and college graduates in the workforce just far, far outnumber anybody who just wants to skirt and do anything, and you'll never get a job.
That brings me right back to, and I'm gonna wrap up with this. Do you want to, kids, get your passion from pain? Or do you want to get your passion from something that was enjoyable and listen to the words of wisdom of a legendary person that's been around, like a Larry Bluestein, get hooked into organizations like Keeping Dreams Alive Foundation, which has your back, and so you don't have to, and you can be better than where you came from, and you can succeed in anything you want to do if you want to do it bad enough. And just don't get caught up in those distractions of the 24-hour cycle of this social media that's going on. And in closing, you know, I want you to be able to close with whatever you want to. But I love it. Passion from pain. Larry Bluestein, 40-year career built off of the pains that he felt at a 16, 17, 18-year-old student-athletes. If you're feeling the same pain because you don't think you're getting the right attention, because you don't feel like you're getting the right things falling in place for you, well, then do something about it. Hook into an organization. Call up. We are accessible. Larry, any final words before we close?
No, just the whole thing is everybody has to understand, you know, sooner or later you're going to be in a situation where you have to understand that you got to stop blaming everybody else and start taking accountability.
Exactly.
Because there's not a lot of people that care outside of your family about you. So the one thing that I will say is that there last year were 471 Division I football players in the state of Florida. From Palm Beach to Key West, there were 265. That means if you took Florida, Florida State, Miami, USF, UCF, FAMU, Florida, Bethune, Cookman, Stetson, Florida Tech, West Florida, and any other school that may play football in the state, and put 25 players on each roster, you'd still have leftovers. And you know that doesn't happen every year where you get 25 scholarships. Some has 13, 14, some have 18, 19, but the thing is they don't all come from the state of Florida. So that's
right.
The one thing, and people have to understand that you have to be – you can't just be ordinary. And if you're just ordinary, your grades better reflect that you're just an ordinary football player.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, words of wisdom. I'm so glad and honored to have you on the program with us today. I can't wait to listen to it back. I can't wait for the kids out there to listen to it that we mentor. Folks, if you want to get in touch with Larry Bluestein, you can get him at Florida Kids number one, the number one at AOL.com, or Larry Bluestein Recruiting, all over social media. Everybody in the state of Florida and anywhere in the nation know Larry is all about the kids. It's been a pleasure for me to be able to sit here with you today and get the insights and the wisdom from you, Larry. And thank you for your time, and we will see you at the next time and the next meeting. Until then, folks, enjoy the rest of the program today, and till we meet again, Larry, God bless you and safe travels up to Ocala.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you so much.